Yeah, I don't know, Brian. This trunk or treat thing, Brian Bacco, the Post Gazette. What is happening here? You just enlightened me on this. How many times do kids go out for what? They can't just have one Halloween anymore? There's 18 of them? I asked you what night your kids are going out for Halloween. You said Halloween, which I thought was at first a sarcastic answer, but it was just an actual answer. But then you said there's all these other nights of trunk or treat. Are you aware of this limits?
Yeah, like I know my church has like an event for kids where they can go and people can pass out candy to them like out of their trunk and they dress up and it's a nice thing and it's not on Halloween. It's a different day.
And what happened to dressing up on Halloween and going to people's houses and having that be the night? What is going
on
here, Brian?
I was the laziest Halloween costume person ever. I'd throw on a Steeler jersey, sometimes just bring a terrible towel with me, or I'd wear a Pirates jersey with a ball cap and I'd just walk out.
Yeah, I mean, Joe, you sort of sound like my dad. He was on a soapbox about this the other day. It's a little curmudgeon-y. I mean, it
maybe.
Does it water down the night of? I could see both sides of that. I mean, it's there's still one night that you go around your own neighborhood with all your friends. And you go to the different houses. The
trunk do we treats, celebrate other holidays 8 times? I only have one Easter dinner.
Christmas?
There's one Christmas morning.
People do
there's
a lot no of Christmas other, things.
Well, maybe
a lot
Christmas, of Christmas. It's Christmas Eve, maybe.
Breakfast we used to, with Santa.
Yeah.
Those kind of things. And that's like trunk or treat.
I don't know, trunk or treat.
Like Austin said, we had
on,
one.
Limits.
We had one at the church. We had one at the elementary school down the road. So there's different, you know, places that put it on.
What do you have? The 12 days of trunk or treat now? How much candy?
You could view it through that perspective.
Do you
Joe.
Wear the same costume every time, or you have to switch up?
My kid doesn't, but I mean, you can view it through the grumpy perspective, or you can say it's another chance for a joyous occasion. A little kid putting on a costume, getting more candy. More
Parents, that's why they're all spoiled
involved.
These days.
Yeah, well, that's
plus there's the whole ritual of
participation trophy era.
participation candy. Plus, I remember it being, you know, whether I was a kid and my parents doing it or me with my daughter, it's a big deal to get the whole costume thing together, to put out the energy to go trick or treating. I don't know that I would have wanted to do that 7 different times.
Yeah, I mean, the trunk or treat's less involved because you drive to a location and then you get out and you just walk around probably a parking lot.
Yeah.
And you get, you know, less candy, I suppose.
I guess.
And it's a pretty quick process, but
I guess it's my problem. And you guys have enlightened me to something else, that Matt Warfield is on the line. Perhaps I overreacted. I was hangry earlier because there was an incident outside the studio. And also, I drank too much coffee, was hangry, and that's right when Matt texted in or tweeted in and included the fans account. How long has Starkey been watching football? And then some other, an insult right after that.
I mean, he came in a little aggressive as well.
He came in real
fairness
aggressive.
To you, Joe.
Yeah, real aggressive, which maybe it's curmudgeonry again.
Maybe he drank too much coffee.
He might have. And I need to realize that maybe Matt's having a difficult day.
Yeah.
I don't know. But whatever happened to some sort of courteous or respectful back and forth? Like, hey, Starkey, Tomlin should know that challenge thing. He should know that all scoring plays get reviewed. Apparently he doesn't, neither do you. That was basically our interaction. I don't like that. But you have both told me maybe this is a nice man. Maybe he was going through a difficult time. Maybe you should give him a chance in the spirit of trick or trunk. Or trunk or
trunk
trick.
Or treat.
Yeah, trunk or treat.
Yeah, something like that.
So Matt is on the line, and let's give this guy a chance, shall we, Brian?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hi, Matt.
Hello.
How are you, buddy?
I'm great. How are you?
I've never been worse, and I value your inquiry. What's happening?
I got to start by saying I'm a fan of the show.
Thank you.
And I'm a fan of Tomlin.
Thank you, or thank him.
My only point was that this has happened in the past, how many times, and there's always an excuse.
What specifically has happened?
The review issue, the replay issue. There has to be a better way to do this. And he always comes up with a terrible excuse.
Well, on this one,
I thought it was...
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted you, Matt.
Well, I thought... Like you said, no one's smarter than me, and I thought it was very clear that they said that they reviewed it. The officials reviewed it.
I don't know
how he missed that, but if he did, that's fine. If he has too much going on, that's fine. then there has to be a better way about this. And that was where I was going with all of it.
I think we have some common ground there, and you definitely won points with your self-deprecating sense of humor. I think we're on the right track here, Matt. Shall I unblock you?
Yeah, you can unblock me.
Yeah, I think this is great for you, too. I'm less concerned about Tomlin's replay process. We can get into that on future Tuesdays with or without me here in studio, Matt.
Yeah.
But I think it's one of those situations where, you know, any circumstance in life, you can make somebody feel better about something that transpired, or you can try to make them feel worse about it. And I think it's good that you and Joe both tried to make each other feel better about this.
This is great. This is great radio.
Is there a way, Matt, that you can approach these questions without tagging my bosses and insulting me?
I will do that. I'll do a better job of it next time.
And
you have to understand, though, I have a sense of humor like you have, self-deprecating, and also I can be a little, my sense of humor is a little different.
Yeah,
but I'm not a bad guy.
Little edgy.
You're not a bad guy.
I don't know. A little edgy. I don't know you yet. We'll come around. I think we'll come around. And on this particular case, Brian Batko has said that there was mass confusion on the field.
I think
I didn't see it that way. I really thought it was clear. But I mean, there's a lot going on. The crowd was loud. I don't know. Is that an excuse? But like I said, if that is the excuse, and if he can't hear what's going on,
Matt. No, here's the deal. Brian, explain to him what you explained to me, that on the field, there was some confusion as to whether the officials on the field on their own, without the assistance of replay, said, hold on a second, that was incomplete. And that's why Tomlin may have thought that on the field, it was ruled not a touchdown. And therefore, he had the right or the obligation, really, to challenge. Right, Brian?
Yeah, next break, we'll have to go back and watch that, Joe.
Yeah.
But I also see Matt's ultimate point here that year after year, there becomes issues where it's Tomlin just watching the scoreboard or having a different feel for being at home or on the road. I mean, it used
to be... Is that your point, Matt? Has Brian enunciated your point clearly? Yeah, with a lot of compassion, I thought.
I'm gonna get my gavel out and rule on this. Matt came in a little too hot from the jump, and then Joe tried to kill an ant with a sledgehammer. So I think that's pretty much how this all went down.
Thank you, Matt. Give Limits your number. We'll go out for a beer some
night. A round of golf.
Where do you live?
South Park.
South Park has a great course. Your treat. I'll meet you there next week.
All right. I'm in.
See you, Matt.
See you, buddy.
All right. Take care.
Thank you guys for guiding me in a very spiritual way, I'd say. Right? We've elevated the show to a higher level of
humanity.
You're
going to feel better about the rest of the day now.
I think so.
That won't be nagging at you.
Right.
Or Matt.
Did you like him, Limits?
We built a lot of bridges on this show, yes. We're not tearing anybody down on this show. We're building everybody back up, right?
Build people up. Don't tear them down. You never know what somebody's dealing with behind the scenes. Also important.
That was inspirational radio right there, Joe.
I'm so damn proud of this football team. I'll tell you that. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Pertinent Steeler questions. I need yes or no's to start, and that'll lend itself to a discussion, hopefully. Is Russell Wilson on his way to commanding $50 million plus in the offseason, Brian?
No.
No, not 50.
Not through two games.
Okay. I'm just asking. I mean, okay, I'll elaborate.
I'm not even willing to say he's on his way just yet.
I'll say no to that as well.
The way you phrased the question, I had to say no.
Yeah. I mean, a little critical there, but yes, I agree with you. Dan Moore. Is he a guy that they will re-sign in the offseason? Brian?
No.
Closer to yes, but no.
Each week that passes, I grow a little bit more off of that no.
I'm going to say yes. The last question. Is this Najee Harris's last year with the Steelers, as so many of us presumed when they didn't give him the fifth-year option?
I like how you flipped it. Now I'm going to say yes.
It's his last year?
Yes.
Holy bird follicles. limits?
Oh, I'm going to say yes as well, but hesitantly.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no.
Yeah, you've been on this for a while, yeah.
Maybe
right?
Maybe elaborate on that now?
Sure.
We'll start with that one. I think that him and Tomlin still have a very good relationship. I think he really loves it here, and I think they're going to give him a fair deal. And I think as a running back, no matter how good of a year he has, he's not going to go out and like, you know, set a new market for running backs. He's just not. And if he can get a fair deal here, bygones will be bygones, and he's going to play here. That's what I firmly believe.
I think it's going to be difficult for the Steelers to revisit that when they had the opportunity to pick up his fifth-year option and decided not to, just because of the value that's going to come into play. And you're sort of going to be having, I guess, not buyer's remorse, you know, non-buyer's remorse at that point if you're them. And I think Najee, as well as he's playing right now, as much fun as he's having, I think he's somebody else who could maybe use a change of scenery, get away from the first-round pick expectations, get back to the West Coast where his family is. That's just my gut, my sense of it. And as good as he's running right now, Joe, running hard, shaking people off of him, fighting just to gain 1 or 2 yards, that's not really anything new. The Steelers saw those qualities in him the last 3 years and still made the decision they did this offseason.
Yeah, but everything's different now. Now we're seeing Najee Harris running the ball in an adult offense, one where people have to respect the deep ball, therefore can't crowd the box with 19 guys. One where I would venture to say the running scheme is a little bit more mature, a little bit more diversified than it's been, and one where you have a master of the play action in Russell Wilson, which also, you know, all this works together. I don't think it's an accident. Najee Harris just didn't suddenly become a guy who, you know, finds the open space and is spinning around people and breaking long runs. That's a function of the quarterback, the coordinator, and a revolutionized offense in these parts. And I think they wanted to see how he would work in this offense. It's working. And I think, unless what you said, I do hear that maybe he has designs on going elsewhere. I think it's going to be still a long, happy marriage. I don't think there's a divorce.
I think it's possible that they bring him back, especially the way he's playing. If they can find some consistency in this offensive line, more so with health and everything else. I don't think Najee is banging down the door to leave, but he's going to want to get paid, and I don't think the Steelers want to pay a running back.
I also don't want to be a prisoner of the moment here, fellas, in the sense that 3 straight 100-yard games, absolutely take your cap off to him. Is he still the game-changing back that you commit big money to long-term?
Well, what do we mean big money? Is there anything that's actually big money for a running back if you're not like Christian McCaffrey?
Nick Chubb's up there.
At what? I don't have the numbers in front of me. See, I don't think it's
but it's all a piece of position, the puzzle of the team and what you're spending on. We don't know what they're going to need to spend at quarterback next year or even on whom.
Okay, then
at
let's,
this point, I think philosophically, they might believe from the top that you can find another guy who's 6'2", 220, 230 in the draft.
Is there anything
who's gonna take a lick and keep on ticking?
Sure. I do agree with
that. Who can't break off a 40-yard run, but neither can Najee.
But they have a long history of when they draft a guy and he's the type of player and the type of person that they value and want and becomes a part of the city, like I think this guy is. They have a history of rewarding that and wanting that, wanting to maintain such a relationship. And I think they'll make every effort to. I do.
I don't know that he's been the easiest to deal with, though, behind the scenes. I mean, I think he certainly wants to win.
For them or for media?
Both. I mean, he was a
Who
captain.
Cares about
he was a
the
captain
media?
His second year.
Yeah.
And then was not.
That's true.
I'm still very unclear on what exactly transpired there. I think I've noticed him a little different after Jaylen Warren burst onto the scene and had such success and provided them with more efficiency. Now, I've always thought those two play off of each other very well and help each other. But I still view this as a situation where you can find a guy second, third, fourth round next year who's maybe not quite Najee, but can do similar things.
What do you got?
Would you give him a deal like Joe Mixon getting about $9.8 million a year, or David Montgomery's new deal he just signed, $9 million a year? Josh Jacobs, Alvin Kamara are getting 12, Barkley 12.5, or maybe Ramondre Stevenson right at 9, or Derrick Henry's getting 8. Anything like that appease you?
Of course. Of course it appeases me. Limits. Take a look at some of these guys. This is not necessarily cap hit, but average. You said what, 9 or 10? That's what Larry Ogunjobi's making.
Well, that's a bad contract. So. That's,
well, I'm just pointing that out. That's $4 million less than Patrick Queen. That's barely more than Seumalo. That would make him the 5th, 6th, 7th highest paid player on the team. That's what I'm talking about. There's really no such thing as breaking the bank for a running back because it all is in within the confines of a salary cap and where running backs fit. Pay the man. We have to hurry. Let's hurry to Russell Wilson.
Okay.
This continues. He's really good. They win a playoff game. Does he command or does he demand big-time quarterback money, or has he made enough and is he happy enough here that he gives them a nice discount? Like, what would a contract look like for Wilson?
I think more the latter, Joe. I mean, how much more money does he need to make at this stage of his career? If it feels like he's been revitalized, rejuvenated based on being here in Pittsburgh with this franchise, with this head coach, with this offense and offensive coordinator, then maybe you do sacrifice a little bit for that. And I don't even know how much you'd be sacrificing because you go back to this last offseason, it's not like everybody was circling the wagons to try to bring in Russell Wilson.
Right.
I mean, it was pretty slim pickings for him as well, and the Steelers got him as cheap as you can possibly get because of the Broncos situation.
Right. Well, we'll revisit that, and I'll get you guys to answer the Dan Moore question as well. Lots of stuff coming out of this game. Plus, tonight's a special night. It's Marc-Andre Fleury's last visit to Pittsburgh. I mean, other than the Stanley Cup final, of course. His last regular season visit to Pittsburgh. I was kidding, Brian. Did you
catch
that?
He could come back here for vacation if he wants.
Yeah, but he's not going to play a hockey game. Time right now, 1:45, brought to you by Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty, the 50-minute mark on the Fan. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And What's Cooking, brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr.
Very
Hester.
Very kindly. Brian Batko is here from the Post-Gazette. We're having a wonderful time. And take this, Matt Warfield, and take this, City Limits. I am defending Tomlin to the hilt on that challenge flag he threw on the... did you ever see My Left Foot with Daniel Day-Lewis, Brian, the famous movie?
Is that about dancing?
No, it's about somebody's left foot.
Then no.
It might be about dancing. This is My Right Foot with George Pickens. Tomlin throws the challenge flag. People are like, why'd you do that? It was a scoring play. It's automatically reviewed. Well, there seems to be some confusion on the field as to whether it was a scoring play. You have the audio. It's not clear enough to play over the radio. But the first piece you played for me was the officials on the field saying the call on the field is, and we never hear what the answer is, correct?
Yeah, the guy comes out and says, the ruling on the field. And then there's a few beats of probably somebody in his ear, I guess.
Right.
And then comes back with, after review, the pass is incomplete. So about as vague as you could really be to describe what just went on. Now, where I'll disagree with you, though, Joe, is... We're not, like you told everybody else here, we're not privy to what exactly is being said among those parties when Tomlin comes up to confer. I think it's ultimately on the head coach to make sure you get that straightened out before you use one of those precious challenges.
I think it's on the officials to make sure they're clear with everybody and the head coach. And from that audio...
We don't know that they weren't.
From that audio you just played, they said the call on the field is and said nothing.
We don't know somebody that they weren't clear with Tomlin.
I'm going to deduce from that audio that they weren't clear with Tomlin. And I also think that Tomlin knows, as do I think all of us, that every scoring play, in other words, a play that's ruled a touchdown on the field is reviewed. Stupidly, from the NFL, if there's a play in the end zone that's not ruled, that's ruled a non-touchdown on the field, that isn't subject to automatic review. I think forget it.
I love that we get into these unanswerable debates week after week.
No, but
Last week it was Fittipaldo, right. Latitude, attitude. This week it's what went on with the refs here and what's a review. Next week we should argue if you're 4-2, are you one game above 500 or two?
Is anybody anymore in a locker room? Like, you know, TJ or Cam come up to him and say, hey, what are you doing?
That was Todd from Pittsburgh on the leadership group addressing George Pickens a few weeks back. That's just golden. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet, Washington Road, McMurray, or at sunchevy.com. High of 75 today with cloudy skies. Marc-Andre Fleury's final game in Pittsburgh. I love this guy, as we all do. At times, I feel like he's had more goodbyes than Jerry Rand when he left KDKA. I mean, how many times can you have a goodbye party? But this time it seems like it's for real, Brian. And in this case, I'll just say I've never met in sports seemingly a better guy than him. When you ask me in all your years as a beat writer, your personal favorites, he's right up there. Yeah. Very accountable guy, and make no mistake whatsoever. They do not have that last Stanley Cup, Sully's second, without Fleury beating the Capitals in round two, was it? He won that series. They were thoroughly outplayed for a lot of that series. He won the series. So give Matt Murray full credit for winning the actual cup, but they don't even get there without Fleury.
And wasn't there some kind of bummer last time around that when his team came here, they didn't start him?
Yeah,
goal,
something like that. Is he going to start tonight? Was he the last goalie off the ice?
Yes, he is officially starting
tonight.
That's
good. I mean, good. He's getting a second chance,
be
much
cool.
Like Matt on
it's
the line.
It's going to be
earlier.
An emotional night at the old puck yard.
It's a day of second chances.
Maybe Tom Werner will call the arena by its proper name this time. Okay. Thank you, Limits. You're a wonderful man. Anything to add on your part?
No, I'm excited to see what Fleury does, and I feel like he's going to win it one more game in the old barn tonight.
Do you actually root for him to win the game if you're a Penguin fan, or just to play well and lose?
Probably to play well and lose, but if you think that the Penguins have no chance this year, then you probably root for Fleury to win.
Thank you, Limits. Thank you, Brian. See you tomorrow.
Thank you. See you tomorrow.
Bye.